Sudanese government representatives and rebel leaders have successfully ended 2 weeks of negotiations in Nigeria. They signed agreements that establish no-fly zones over the western region of Darfur and allow international aid agencies access to the refugees there. An estimated 1.5 million people are displaced and have been living in squalid camps in Darfur for months. Tens of thousands of them have died from disease and malnutrition. Samantha Power is a lecturer at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government who's visited Darfur and written extensively on the region. How significant are the agreements signed yesterday?
Well, an agreement is always better than no agreement, but I think it's important to remember that the agreement on free access to the displaced really just returns us to where we were a month ago, that is, in a situation where we were invoking the agreement that was signed back in July when Kofi Annan and Colin Powell visited Darfur. So we basically, the situation deteriorated. Now we're trying to bring it back to where it was before the attacks on the displaced and the sealing off of the displaced within Darfur occurred.
Well, do you think, though, that these agreements and the no-fly zone will stop attacks on the refugees by the Janjaweed militia?
Well, again, the no-fly zone is a new element on the ground, and I think a potentially important one in that it neutralizes one of the main tools of attack, not by the Janjaweed, in fact, but by the Sudanese government itself. But unfortunately, most of those who can be ethnically cleansed within the rural areas of Darfur have already been ethnically cleansed. So in a sense, what these agreements do is they freeze the situation on the ground, which is, again, better than attacks continuing and the camps themselves being strafed by the Sudanese Air Force. But what hasn't happened is the negotiators have not moved the conversation to how do we undo some of what's been done. How do we get the people who have been displaced, the nearly 2 million people, back to their homes so they're no longer vulnerable in the same way to militia attacks?
Well, the Sudanese government, of course, would be a critical element in actually both ending the crisis and undoing the damage. What do you think this means in terms of their motives?
Well, they have responded time and again to pressure, and over the course of the last week, the focus has finally returned, I think in the wake of the U.S. election, to Darfur. But, you know, one of the things that's happened in the past is when agreements have been signed, everybody kind of, you know, relaxes and says, oh, well, we've just secured an aid agreement, and the conversation stops there. The essential thing now is how do we take the wedge that has been created with the African Union force that is on the verge of deploying, 4,000 African Union troops are about to go to Darfur, take that as a wedge and actually expand that force so it has a mandate and a size that can actually be of use for the displaced.
Well, just briefly, are you at all optimistic that international aid will get to the refugees?
I think aid access will likely improve, at least while the attention is on Sudan. But again, there's a difference between feeding the symptoms of a problem and actually tackling the problem itself, and that I don't think we are even close to doing.
Samantha Powers, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Samantha Powers teaches public policy at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government and is the author of the book A Problem from Hell, America and the Age of Genocide.